Book of Acts, chapter number 1, and I'd like to start in verse number 6. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Judea and in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening for your wonderful word. Oh, God, I pray tonight you would excite our souls in it. Oh, Lord, how wonderful your word is. How marvelous the truths that we have that just emanate from the pages of this book we call the Bible. We thank you tonight that we can gather in this place. We pray, Spirit of God, that you might move upon our hearts, that you might do a work in our midst this evening. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this week we are going into missions conference, and one of the things we will be hearing is that we are to be witnesses. And so we find here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, really, the Great Commission given a little bit different form than we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here it says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Notice the next word. Both. That means all at once. Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I don't know about you, but it seems to me like God's saying we need to go everywhere. Mark said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so God's telling us we are to be a witness of that. Now, to be a witness, that means we've had to have seen something. Now, we might not have seen it with our physical eye, but we ought to be able to see it with the eye of faith, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are witnesses of that, and we are to tell the world about what He has done. A lot of folks, and I think probably rightfully so, say, "Hey, listen, Jerusalem is the hometown of these folks, and so that's where we start at. That's where we're at, and there's where we got to give the gospel." And certainly, Council Bluffs, Iowa, is a great place to give the gospel. Do we need it in this city? Oh, definitely we need it in this city. It says here, Judea and Samaria. Some would look at that and say, well, that's the countries nearest, like Mexico or like Canada. Or some would say, no, that's like the states next to us, like Missouri and Nebraska. Well, in either case, and we got a lady here from Minnesota. There's a lot of jokes between Minnesota and Iowa. I won't get into any of those tonight. You'll say thank you for that, because I'll lose the battle. But nonetheless, we find that whatever it is, we are to be witnesses there. Do people in Omaha, Nebraska need the gospel? Oh, definitely they do. They need Jesus over there. Do they need Him down in Missouri? Yes, they do. Do they need Him in Illinois? Yes, they do. Do they need Him in Wisconsin? Yes. Do they need Him in Canada? Yes. Do they need Him in Mexico? Yes, we know that. Unto the uttermost part of the earth. We have a missionary this week is going to India. That seems like an uttermost to me. Somebody said that God wants us to go from the uttermost to the guttermost. We're to reach people wherever they are at. And so there is God's formula for you and me to get the job done. Then he says in verse number 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up. Our Lord and Savior ascends to be with his Father." And then as you go down to verse number 11, which is our text tonight, we find that there are two men clothed in white apparel, perhaps angels. And they say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He just gave them the Great Commission. Why are you standing around? Why are you not getting busy? And he says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I look at that last sentence there, and it really, really says so much. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. The one who came and lived on this earth, and the one who lived and preached and did miracles, the one who fed 5,000, this one who went to the cross of Calvary and there died for your sins and mine, this one who arose from the grave 3 days later, this one, this same Jesus, he's coming back. He's coming back. I mean, that's something to be excited about. But I want you to notice something there. It says this same Jesus. He does not change. He will never change. Listen, I'm not going to tell you my age. You all know how old I am. I'm 40 years old, and I've been doing it for 27 years, almost. And it's an exciting life. Seriously. I might have that 6 in front of my name, but I'll tell you what, I still feel young inside. But as I run around this city, and this is my hometown, as I go around this city, I look at different places and different things, and I find it is changing. Get on Avenue N, which is now paved, that we have our church on. Go down to 25th Street, and there you get on Nash Boulevard. It used to be Avenue N. And now it kind of wraps around. And you get over to a place called 16th Street. And you see to your right a change that has come to our city. And what was Motel 7 became Motel or 6 or, and became Motel 7. I suppose if we got another older, it'd be Motel 8 and another Super 8. And now it's gone. You look through what used to be a building there and you could see, well, for a little while last week, Richmond Gordman. And now, it's gone. And you look and there's piles of dirt and you find there's bulldozers and there's different equipment out there and they are getting to build a Walmart. And so we on the north side are going to have a Walmart. Okay? Aren't you excited? Well, for me, I'm not going to have to go through that ugly place down there where the State 29 and 80 meet up. Oh, did you happen to notice? That is changing. Wow. Get in your car, ride down to 28th Street, go up to onto Broadway, and make a right, and drive about 3-4 blocks, and look off to your left. And what was a building there ever since I can remember as a kid is now gone. At one time, housed the International Harvester. And they're going to build a clinic there. And everywhere I go, I find that things have changed in this town. Now, I'm not against that. That's fine. That's okay. Matter of fact, this ground that our church is on one time was just flat ground. And now we have a church here, a parking lot, a gymnasium out there. I mean, there's stuff here that didn't used to be here. But things change. I may have looked in the mirror recently. I can remember Bill Mowry when he had black hair. And a lot of it. It turned white and it's turning loose. It's changing. Don't smile too big, Troy. I mean, things are changing. But here's something about change. It leaves us often very insecure. What does this mean? What is going to happen as a result? Oh, listen tonight. We stop and we look at our Savior. It's this same Jesus. He changes not. And that gives to you and I stability. We don't have too many changeless things left. I mean homes and relationships and buildings. I mean anything connected to man changes, but our Lord changes not. His love will never change. Lamentation says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Aren't you glad of that? And then it goes on to say, because His compassions fail not. He just keeps on loving us. No one ever cared for me like the Lord Jesus Christ. His greatest gesture of love came on the cross of Calvary. But may I say to you tonight, that love continues onward and forward. His power will never change. He promised to you and I that all power is given to us, both in heaven and earth. Listen, God has that for you and to me. That power that caused Him to have a miraculous healings over sickness, to be able to raise people up from the dead, to cast demons away, to change the course of nature, if you please. He has the power to change lives. But He's got that power. And that power has always been tremendous. I'm glad tonight that I can trust His Word. It never changes. We can trust Him in it. It is ever true. It's ever reliable. I realize today that there are those who come along and they want to translate it different because they're telling you that you cannot understand it in the old English that you got, and you need something just a little bit more modern. Matter of fact, you just don't understand it quite enough because now you need to have a gender perfect Bible because you've had a gender imperfect Bible. And so you got to get a gender perfect Bible, and then they come up with something else and something else and something else and change it and change it and change it. But I got something, just some good news for you. My Bible really never changes, though man may try to. He has preserved it. It changes not. This same Jesus, oh, that ought to thrill our soul. He never changes, which is taken up from among you. Taken up. His work ended here on the cross of Calvary. He said, it is finished. But He's taken up to do something that we need desperately. And He's in the position at the right hand of the Father as your intercessor and mine. There where you and I have the privilege to go through the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, directly unto God. The one who is there as our lawyer, if you please. He is there as our intercessor. The one who is really beating off old smutty face the devil. Because He's the great accuser of the brethren. And as He goes to God and accuses, there is the devil constantly doing that. But Jesus at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. One of the great things about Him as our intercessor is, like children, we often do not even know what we need. And yet He is there taking care of that for you and for me. We often don't know what's right for us, and yet He is there doing exactly that. He's our advocate. He's taken up to be at the right hand of the Father. But notice also it says, shall so come. Shall so come. The world is fooled by false Christ, but God's people will recognize Him. He's the one with the nail prints in His hands. He will come and take us out of the great tribulation. He will take us into His presence. He shall so come that you and I might be forever with Him. He will also so come to judge and to bring judgment upon this world. But there's something about our God that is always true. He changes not, by the way. Again, we must say that. And that is, He always offers grace before judgment is given. You stop and think about it. Noah's a preacher of what? Righteousness. Why did God do that? He offered grace before the judgment of God came. We see the prophets in the Old Testament, and we find that they preached to the nation of Israel who was in a backslidden condition. And they came and they preached in the days of the kings. And so God offered His grace, but then came the dispersion. God is always there offering His wondrous grace. He shall so come. Christian, are you ready for His coming? By the way, as we find here, he says, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus not coming back as a ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ arose to be with the Father bodily. It wasn't in spirit only. It was His body that arose. It captured their attention. They were watching and they couldn't believe it. And finally the angels have to say, why stand ye gazing up? Our Savior went up bodily into the very presence of God. But not only do it bodily, He did it very visibly. And He's coming again very visibly. The first part of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find, will be at what we describe with the word rapture. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise and meet the Lord, and we which are alive will be caught up together with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you and I, that if you're saved tonight, we're going to go into the very presence of God. But there comes a time at the end of the tribulation. We've been studying that on Sunday mornings in Sunday school class. And there's coming a time at the end of that. Jesus is coming back. As He went up bodily, He's coming back bodily. In like manner, He went up, Lord, and He's coming back, Lord. Matter of fact, we find in His vesture, it will be written, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He will come back with the sword of His tongue, really, of the Word of God. And He will slay the armies that have gathered before Him with His Word. Oh, that Bible you have, isn't it powerful? Think about the Word of God for a moment. God spoke back in the very beginning, and what happened? Worlds were created. I mean, can you imagine? Worlds were created. If I am going to create something, I cannot make it out of nothing. I have to have something to make it out of. But the Bible, we find that He created. There's a term they use, ex nihilo. It's just a big fancy word. It means out of nothing. Out of nothing. God took nothing. And He spoke, and it was there. His Word's powerful enough to save your soul. And one day the Word of God is powerful enough to slay the armies that gather to do battle. Matter of fact, the bloodshed will be so great, the Bible says, the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. When I was a little boy, I had a Shetland pony. That little Shetland pony, his back was about right there. That bridle was about right there. It's pretty deep. It might be a little more. It's pretty deep blood. A few years ago, I went to the state fair. Beautiful, beautiful black Percheron. I looked into that stall, his muzzle, I was looking straight at him. His head, I kid you not, might be a little bigger. The sway in his back was taller than my head. At the shoulders, a good 7 to 7.5 feet. What if they're Percherons? The power of the Word of God. Amen. And you and I have this Jesus that loves us, that changes not, that is interceding in our behalf.
And He's coming back to get us. I mean, you ought to start having some fits. Matter of fact, it'd do you good to do this because you're going to ride a wild horse one of these days and you just well get in practice. It's going to be a great day. Our Savior is alive. He is well. And He's coming again. Father, tonight, enthuse our souls in the wondrous truth of Your Word. Oh God, we're so thankful tonight that we have this same Jesus. Lord, we've said nothing new tonight. But oh, how we need reminded of how great You are. That You are indeed immutable. You are changeless. You are the one who has the power to change us. But You have been the same forever and ever. We thank You, O God, today that we have the wonderful privilege to depend upon You, to put our trust in You, and to know that You are in this very moment interceding on our behalf. We're thankful that, Spirit of God, You are in our midst, moving amongst us and bringing conviction and comfort. You're educating our souls. But, O God, too often we shove You aside. Too often we allow our lives to be about ourselves rather than. No wonder we're complacent. God, forgive us. I pray that You help us look heavenward. Oh God, that we might look to those skies and marvel at the fact that You are soon to appear. Work on our hearts tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.